4. We're with you until 2 o'clock. Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay will take over at 2, and they'll get you home this evening. You want to join us, be a part of the show in the final hour? We'd love to hear from you. 303-713-1043. That is the RamosLaw.com text line. You can also watch the show over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. Real quick, before we jump into an abs conversation, a few folks reacting on the text line about the best coach. Some people are upset that we left out Troy Calhoun, and yeah, they should be. That's on me. We should have definitely had him in the conversation.
Not we. Yeah, you.
Well, you know, yeah, thought you. You thought you were part of the team on this.
No, it's just, okay. It's all about
all right.
I.
All right, yeah. Ain't no I in team, right? But there ain't no we either.
That's right. Exactly.
Join us there on the text line. Watch over on the Twitch stream. This is a weird one, but you see this jersey? What's that from?
Oh, wow. Never seen that jersey.
It's a Stokely jersey with like camo numbers.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen that jersey.
Somebody sends it in and wants you to autograph it.
Really?
For them, yeah.
Where they sent it in to here?
The text line.
Oh.
But they said they're going to come see us the next time we're out so that you can autograph
it. Perfect. Sounds good. You got it.
So, yeah, come down.
No, that's a cool jersey.
He'll sign it for you, and I'll take a picture of you guys.
There you go. Perfect.
That's kind of how it works, right?
That's right, yeah.
All right. I want to talk about Nathan MacKinnon. I want to talk about the Avalanche. We know how good they are. We know how great Nate was last night. That's another thing, Stoke. We haven't even touched on that. It was almost as if Nathan was like, all right, the rest of you chumps aren't here for the game tonight. I guess I'll just do everything by myself. He literally did everything, took over. Now, was it Lecky that had the first goal, which was nice? It was also off a beautiful freaking pass and set up from Nathan MacKinnon early in the game right there. It was almost like a no-look pass, too. Knew that Lecky would be there and put it on his tape, and then he buried it. But he was great last night. Locked up the Hart Trophy, his 43rd multi-point game of the season. That breaks a franchise record set by Peter Stasi back in 81-82. Sixth player in NFL in franchise history to reach the 50-goal mark, just the fourth in Avs history, and he passed Peter Forsberg on the franchise hat trick leaderboard with his seventh last night and third of the season. So we know how great Nate was. We can talk about that. But I want to talk about a couple of things that we've hinted at and now maybe are worried about as the Avalanche wind down their regular season. The second line and the penalty kill. They had allowed 5 straight goals on the PK before getting a couple stops versus Minnesota. How big of a worry is that? Them not being able to handle their own on 5-on-4s. And then the other thing, and it kind of goes into this, is that second line just not holding up to their end of the deal. What worries you more, that second line and Val kind of being the leader there, or the penalty kill and their struggle there as of late?
Yeah, I mean, obviously both are concerning. They're not ideal heading into the playoffs, but I think it's the second line not getting the job done, right? You know we can count on a lot of the top-tier guys, right? It's the other guys that are going to have to make some plays in the playoffs. And hopefully you play a little bit smarter. Don't take penalties, right? That could help that out right away. And sometimes they just happen through the course of a game. But play a little smarter. Don't put yourself in that position to be down 5-4 and on a penalty kill. And then, you know, that could take care of itself right there. So for me, it's the second line. Getting going, man. Need more production from that group. How about you?
Yeah, it probably is the second line, but man, it that penalty kill, and it also just the Avs players just have to play smarter. If you know you're bad on the penalty kill, you can't be taking as many penalties. Much easier said than done. I understand that part of it, but PK is just tough, man. It's you can find yourself down, and then you're chasing, you're reaching for things, you're trying to play out of character. I think it is a big problem for the Avalanche moving forward. They have a few games to get right, so I would put it as second line. But I'm almost like 1B with penalty kill being an issue as of late, too. They can handle their business 5-on-5, and when they're on the power play, of course, you got a couple of the fastest skaters in the world, you should have the advantage. But that other side, it is worrying me a bit here.
Yeah, and then you go to the goalie situation, and what is that going to look like moving forward? You know, you would like to maybe just be concerned with one thing heading into the playoffs. There's a few things here, but that's all right. That's all right. Hopefully we get going, get Mikko back. Get Val going, and then I do. I like the way that Georgie obviously played after the first period there. There wasn't a lot of shots, not a lot of opportunities. Give credit to the defense there for limiting Minnesota. And so there's some concerns, obviously, but, you know, when you look up and you see McKinnon just blowing by everybody, you know, and scoring a hat trick and just dominating that game by himself, you're like, all right, we still got that dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, if you have McKinnon on the ice, you should pretty much have a chance in any single game, any single series. Well, they're having now. You got to get scoreboard watch a little bit. That'll be fun tomorrow night because it's a slow sports night in Colorado on Thursday. Like, no Rockies, no Nuggets, no Abs. But you are going to see Winnipeg take on Dallas. And if Winnipeg wins, that means Saturday's matchup at Ball Arena is a Winnipeg Jets team with 104 points and a Colorado Avalanche team with 104 points. And the winner takes over sole control of second place in the Central.
Yeah, so it's obviously, you know, it's almost like last night with the Nuggets. You know, your scoreboard watching OKC, your scoreboard watching the Timberwolves, and both those teams were down big. It's like, oh, man, this might be like a, what? This might be the biggest thank yous ever. Like, we might get so lucky here where both those teams lose, and they both come back and win, of course. Obviously, you know, rooting for Winnipeg there to take a loss and hopefully make the path a little bit easier to stay in second.
Jonathan Drouin's been great, and we've talked about him. A couple of points last night, finding the score sheet. I want to play a clip from him after the game talking about what coming to Colorado has done for his career.
You know, it goes to the leaders and the staff here. I think everyone worked so hard, and you know, I knew coming in here when I signed that it's gonna put your work boots on in the gym and everything, and it's pays dividends for everyone that puts their work boots on and go to work. And it's not only Nate. I think there's a handful of guys that take their game very seriously, and they look at the details and their work ethic, and it pays dividends.
To kind of like reviving my career, right? Hey, I'm back. I'm on a team that has cup chances. It's bringing the best out of me. And we really like what we've seen out of Jonathan Drouin. We talked about that behind-the-back pass last night at center ice for Nate's second goal that was beautifully set up by Jonathan Drouin. The little things like that, is this me reaching as like fan guy? Like, do little things like that go, man, a pending free agent next year is going to hear something like that, and that could be the difference of them picking the Avalanche or insert other team here?
Yeah, you're reaching there.
I am?
Yeah,
okay.
Reaching on that one.
All right.
Go that far.
Okay.
But I can see how, you know, every situation is different. And sometimes you go to good locker rooms where guys are grinding. Sometimes you go to locker rooms where it's just like, all right, you know, let's just have some fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
I've worked at places like that.
Right. And that's in locker rooms, too. And then you go and you're a guy like that. And all of a sudden you get around, obviously, great talent. And you become a part of that. And you just fit in perfectly. And it's a trickle-down effect there. And it's just like, all right, this is where I'm meant to be. You know, and now you're at your best because of all the other people around you and just the locker room culture. It goes a long way. And so you're hearing that from him, and I totally believe that.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I always forget that it's I don't know why I forget this, because I love money. It's about who pays you the most.
Yeah, it always is.
Yeah.
Right? Unless you got so much of it, you don't really care.
Yeah, and I don't even think that exists.
Right. It's the 99.9% that doesn't come into play.
Yeah.
So unless you're just trying to chase a championship, like, you know, most guys, I don't care what sport it is, you're going to get paid, man. Mm-hmm. You know, the shelf life of being a professional athlete is really short. And so that's the bottom line.
Yeah, you know what team I want to play for? The one that cuts me the biggest check.
That's right. That's right.
That's what I'm looking for. All right, what do you think about it, Avs fans? 303-713-1043. Where would you put your biggest concern? Or are we overreacting? Is there no real reason to have concern about penalty kill and what that second line really has not done as of late? Let us know at 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. We'll come back, catch up on some of your texts, and also get into a discussion about the Denver Nuggets, how big this game is tonight and what they have to do to beat Minnesota to lock up that number one seed in the West. That's coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I want to talk some Nuggets here in just a couple minutes. Did have to mention and got it from a texter. We're going to preview it a little bit tomorrow and react on Friday, but I said there wasn't a lot going on locally on Thursday. there is one big thing actually going on locally. The DU Pioneers, which we'll have for you here, is going to be in the Frozen Four. They're taking on Boston University in game number one there. So big chance for the Pios there to go back, try to get another national championship for their college team. So, yeah, good job there, 912 on the RamosLaw.com text line. All right, Stoke, let's talk about the Nuggets real quick. Let's talk about their record right now at 55-24. They have a game tonight against Minnesota. It's a big game because the number one seed is on the line in the Western Conference. Then they'll wrap up on the road. San Antonio Friday, Memphis on Sunday. Stoke, it's still here, right in front of us. They win out. They win the final three games, and the 58-win Denver Nuggets in 23-24 become the winningest franchise in Nuggets history. The record right now is 57. The 12-13 team did that, and you win out here. I'm not sure I would bet on that, but they do have an opportunity to be the winningest team in Denver Nuggets franchise history with a 3-0 finish.
Yeah. What do you mean you don't think you're not betting on it? Like, you think it's going to be tough to win out here?
No. I just don't think anyone plays on Sunday at Memphis.
Oh, gotcha. But see, here's the problem. I mean, that you have to realize Minnesota has a tiebreaker on us.
Mm-hmm.
So if you win this game, you just go up one.
Yeah.
Guess what that means? You're really only up a half. So if you lose one of these next two and then Minnesota wins out, you're not the number one seed anymore. So, like, you kind of need to win them all, right?
Yeah.
If you beat Minnesota tonight and you lose one of the next two, okay, that probably does nothing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so, yeah, this game's important, but this isn't the end of the season. And that's if, you know, obviously Minnesota wins the next two. And then you got Oklahoma City lurking behind you. And they own the tiebreaker on you also.
They do.
So, I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know how they approach those games. But I just think that would be really cool. I think you get there. If you get that close, let's go ahead and cross the finish line. Let's go ahead and do it. You know, let's finish the season off the right way. You get 4 or 5 days off before the playoffs start anyway with the play-in games. So, hey, let's go play ball and let's go set this record and let's go win another damn championship and get a snack. Let's go.
I like that a whole lot.
I mean, but that's my mindset on this thing. Now, if you lose tonight, then I think, you know, you adjust off of that. But overall, man, let's go ahead and win the next three.
Yeah, and I wonder, I mean, obviously, Malone and what they can say and talk about in post-game press conferences and then what they do in San Antonio and then Memphis will obviously tell the real story about how badly they do want that number one overall seed. Another thing with these Nuggets, Christian Brown, we talked about his hot start last night, made a couple of threes really to get the Nuggets going. He's up to shooting 38.5% from three this season. You know, if you want to shoot it a little bit more regularly, 39-40% is where good shooters are, and then into the 40s is just outstanding. But he's evolved into a not like a knockdown shooter, but you trust him a little bit more than you did certainly when the season started. Unfortunately, Stoke, I think it's gone the other way with Peyton Watson. We talked about Peyton like, damn, this dude's developing a jump shot. That corner three is dangerous, and you can't leave him alone out there. Well, that's completely changed. You can leave him alone out there. He's shooting under 30% now from the three, and he really has no confidence even shooting them.
Yeah, and you know what? That's okay. That's who he is right now. Still a young player that's developing. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't forget that. And he is a defensive guy that's going to play great defense, that's going to rebound, that's going to bring energy. I mean, that's what I want from him right now. You know, if you provide anything behind the three-point line, okay. All right. But I'm not counting on that. I'm really not. And I don't want him taking a bunch of those shots. I want him going to the rim. I want him setting other people up. That's when he's at his best right now. You know, continue to try to develop your jump shot as your career moves on. But right now, we don't have to have that from you, and that's not what you do well. So guess what?
Don't do it.
Yeah, we're not going to ask you to do it, buddy. Mm-hmm. Do what you do well, and that's what we want you to do. And that's all those other things, which is fine. So everyone has a different role. And Peyton Watson's role right now is – you know, is not to knock down three-pointers. That's just not what it should be. So, hey, stop shooting them.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be what I would suggest. Obviously, Christian Brown, yeah, you're right. I mean, I was like, whoa. And the shot just, like, the confidence, and it was just swoosh, swoosh.
Yeah.
So that's a – they need somebody to provide that other than, you know, the main guys. And if he could be that guy, I mean, what a boost that would be.
Yes, it would. It would be – I mean, like you said, that even the confidence of Jim – he took one of those 5 feet behind the three-point line last night, and it was nothing but the bottom of the net. So it's nice to see him kind of getting into form as the playoffs – are just right around the corner. And then Watson, I think you're absolutely right, Stoke. Grab a couple rebounds. He did this last night. Grab a rebound, get out in front of everybody, take that thing coast to coast, get by one person, and yam all over everybody. Now, he did it and then flexed and got a tech, but, you know, that ability is right there, and it was also a really weak call from the referee. Can't you flex at your own bench? You don't want to, well, I don't care if you out show or what is it?
Showboat
against the opponent. That's what I don't care about that, but they care about it in the leagues.
Right.
But Peyton dunked, flexed to his bench. Like they showed the replay. He's like making direct eye contact with DeAndre Jordan, not the dude that he just dunked all over. It was soft by the referees.
You know what? I don't know how I missed that. I saw the dunk. I missed the tech.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a tech.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you did. I just missed it. I didn't even see that. I must have going to try to live bet something on the phone, honestly. So I don't know how I missed it, but I guess that's what I was doing, and I just missed it. So I can't really speak on that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you flex to your bench, like, what are we doing? That's not a technical.
Right.
But if you do it, like, in someone's face, now that's a technical. But I didn't, like I said, I got to be honest, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Must have been losing another live bet.
That's right. Listening to Kevin.
Yeah.
All the things he's suggesting back there.
All the chicken finger suggestions.
Yeah.
What did I suggest?
A bunch of losers.
I just told you I was betting them. I didn't tell you guys
about them. Okay. Sharing his. I actually like when you share it. Another quick question on the Nuggets conversation. I started to think about this last night with the rotation shortening up, and we haven't really seen Jamal stagger because he's been injured. I think you might get a little bit of that tonight because he'll get into the 30-minute range this evening against Minnesota. When it comes postseason time, Malone will probably have the luxury to stagger two starters with the bench. You think that's the play come postseason? Like, we've seen Jamal and AG be the two that are staggered, and then you have Nikola, KCP, and another form of a bench player or starter to come in and play that second half of the second quarter before Jamal checks back in.
What are we trying to do here?
We're trying to win a championship.
Well, then hell yeah.
All right.
You're damn right. Exactly. Yes. We got to stagger two of these guys. I don't like, not just one's not good enough with this bench, honestly, unless someone else gets hot. And I told you earlier, I looked up, I think it was the third there, middle, late third, and I looked up and it was Jokic and four guys that couldn't shoot. They couldn't score the basketball. I'm like, this is not the recipe in the playoffs. I'm just telling you right now. Unless someone else steps up and gets hot in the playoffs, or Reggie Jackson, or some. Other than that, it's got to be two starters with, a couple of those bench guys, and staggering that way. Because if not, you just can't afford in the playoffs to get caught slipping. And next thing you know, you got four starters on the bench, and they go on a 12-0 run or whatever, and then a 2-point game becomes a 14-point game, mm-hmm. and then you just give away a game. So you can't afford that. So yes. I'm all for that.
All right. We're both on the same page there then, and we'll see how he handles that tonight. We see some more staggering for Jamal, where we start to see a little bit of the inside of what it could look like come playoff time for Michael Malone, his coaching staff, and the rotation. By the way, hope Coach is feeling better. He had to leave the sideline. Like, this was the second quarter. David Adelman's up there.
Yeah.
And Malone's out, I don't know, bathroom break. Throwing up some bad food, something. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, he didn't look all that great during another timeout. But right. Someone had asked me, he's like, well, why is that? Where's Michael Malone? I was like, oh, no, he might just be letting this guy do. I didn't realize. And then I heard that he went away for a little bit. So, interesting.
Hopefully Coach is feeling all right here today and don't have to make any emergency runs to the restroom here this evening at Ball.
We need you for four tonight.
That's right.
Coach.
Yeah.
We need you for all four of them.
Especially if it gets late, right? It's. When David Adelman took over last time, he forgot to do a couple of things. So let's make sure you're there at the end of the game, Coach.
Right. Very important to know when to use timeouts.
Yes, yes. You have them, so you should use them.
I mean, like, but that's actually like a great thing for Michael Malone.
because it's going to keep David around?
Well, no, because it's, you look at him, you appreciate him a little bit more.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, y'all want this guy to do it? No, please, coach, please be there. Yeah. Please, we need you to call a timeout when it's appropriate.
We should have asked Merrill out about that one, huh?
Like, yes.
You still want to harp on Malone? All right, let's go to Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft. What he has the Broncos doing, it doesn't make any sense to me. Will it make sense to Stoke? Will it make sense to you in Broncos country? We'll present it and let you tell us next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, all kinds of people are out with their mock drafts, and that includes the latest from ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr. And Mel has, I think we're on 3.0, the version right now for Mel. I'm assuming he's going to get to a couple of more before we're actually underway on that Thursday in just a couple of weeks from tomorrow, where round one will officially begin. But what he has the Broncos doing, I just don't understand. And I might need some help from you, Stoke, and I might need some help from Broncos country to help me just grasp where Mel got to this answer here. So what Mel Kiper Jr. has the Broncos doing at number 12 is not taking Bo Nix, who's on the board, not taking Michael Penix Jr., who is available, not trading back to acquire more draft assets and then maybe find their quarterback in round number 2 or later in round number 1. No, he's got none of that. He's got the Broncos taking a cornerback at 12th overall, a cornerback out of Toledo at 12th overall. This isn't Terrion Arnold, who a lot of people look at as the top corner in this draft from Alabama. This is the cornerback out of Toledo. What's his name? Mitchell something. I'll find out. Again, Stoke, I need help. Why in the heck would they draft a cornerback on defense? Why the heck would they at 12? Why the heck would they pick somebody on defense at 12? I don't understand where Mel Kiper Jr. believes he's getting this insight, why he shared this with the Broncos today. I think there is absolutely no chance a cornerback comes off the board at number 12.
Yeah, I can't help you out here. Now, look, if you do take a cornerback at 12, I mean, that guy better be Deion Sanders 2.0. And, you know, you told me he went to Toledo. No disrespect to Toledo, but that ain't Florida State.
Quinnen Mitchell, real quick, the name.
I'm always about take the best player available.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You take the best player available because you don't want to pass up on great players to reach for a position. But you can't tell me there's not another great player available at another position of need. Right? You just can't. So I would be shocked if that's the case. I just can't. I can't go there that they're going to take another cornerback. I mean, look, we see Patrick Surtain some games, and we don't even know he's on the field. That's because he's doing a great job. Would it be nice to have another one of like Patrick Surtain? Yeah, but man, we have so many other needs on this football team. I mean, tight end. We could use more offensive linemen. Hey, how about a receiver? How about a linebacker? How about how about a pass rusher? How about an interior defensive lineman? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of positions that I could say, okay, all right. But cornerback for me is probably at the bottom of the list. So, and looking at who is actually selecting the players, I can't believe they're going defense at all. It's got to be offense. Sean Payton's an offensive guy. He's used to high-quality offensive football. And to do that, you have to have talent. We don't have a quarterback. We don't have upper echelon receivers. We don't have a tight end. I mean, so I just think it's going to be on the offensive side of the football.
I agree with you 100%. And also, after reading this with Mel not having the decision, by the way, if you're wondering what happens to Bo here, he has the New York Giants making a trade to go get pick number 33, first pick in the second round, and they get Bo Nix at pick number 33. Then you move down a couple of slots to 37, where the Chargers are on the clock. Mel Kiper then has the Rams going up to get that 37th overall pick to get Michael Penix Jr. So in this mock, by the time the Broncos get back on the clock in round 3, pick 76, there's no quarterbacks of the top 6 remaining. And we said it earlier, Michael Pratt, at that point, is Spencer Rattler. That seems a little bit early right there. Is there a chance? This seems impossible. Is there a sliver of a chance that the Broncos don't come home with a quarterback in the 2024 draft?
No. No.
0%, right?
Yeah. They're drafting a quarterback somewhere. I mean, I still think it's going to be in the first round. But if not, I mean, they're walking away with a quarterback, you know, I would say before the fifth round.
Okay.
But they're definitely drafting a quarterback.
And then I agree with you. But I also thought, all right, if they get to that spot where it's not Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., and it is a Spencer Rattler, is it then a target of a Ryan Tannehill or a Brian Hoyer? Or do they add a veteran to the quarterback room? Or is it Jared Stidham, Ben DiNucci, and let's just say for the conversation, Spencer Rattler? So you got two guys that have never really played in the NFL and another guy that has four starts.
I think it's Zach Wilson.
Oh, okay. Well, he doesn't have a ton of... He's got experience, the wrong kind of it, but
yeah, I think that's what it would be. Someone like him, and that would be my guess. So I think you got to add more to the room if it's a Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt, third, fourth round, fifth round guy. Then you're going to add another guy to the mix. You know, just didn't work out for you. You want to try to, you know. And I think I say Zach Wilson because look, he's still young. He's got a ton of talent. And you just say, all right, we'll take a flyer on that guy rather than what's Ryan Tannehill going to do for you?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all, literally.
Who's the other guy that you said?
Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, what's Blaine going to do?
Less than Ryan Tannehill.
Less?
Yeah.
You're more down on Blaine than Ryan.
I am, dude.
What?
And that's tough to do.
That is. Like, Ryan's on you like you're, I mean, you don't even call him the right name.
Yeah, he will go by Tyron Tannehill for my entire life.
Exactly.
Go fishing. We talked about fishing earlier. He's doing plenty of that.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he left Tennessee to go fishing.
Oh. So, I just think that you know what you're getting with those guys, and none of them are going to really take you that far.
Mm-hmm.
So you go with the younger guy that you say, all right, let me coach that guy up.
Yeah.
Right? He's got talent. He needs a little rehab, and I'll be there for him. Let's see if we can do that for him, and then maybe he's our quarterback for the next 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Stranger things have happened. That's why I say Zach Wilson would be the guy if it shakes out that way.
Well, people get to save their Wilson jerseys.
Yeah.
Wear the same one down there at Mile High throughout this year. This is an interesting text, too, from a texter in Maryland. It goes to show you he didn't put that much thought into the Broncos pick, and that's just another sign that the Broncos are irrelevant. I'm not the biggest Mel Kiper fan, but...
Love Mel.
I still think he takes this pretty serious. It's like literally the only thing he does.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to say.
He'd overlook his one job.
Yeah, he takes everyone, all these picks. He doesn't care what team it is. Very seriously. I mean, this is the only thing he does. I mean,
right. This
is what he's done his whole life. This is how he's made his living. He doesn't just fly by the seat of his pants like, screw it, Broncos suck, they're irrelevant, I'm just going to put anyone here. I mean, I he doesn't operate that way. So, I mean, I understand what the texter there is saying, but no, not at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mel's a professional. This is, like, if this is all you do, I mean, you put a lot of work into it.
Right.
That is all he does. He's Mel Kiper. He's the draft expert.
Yeah.
They don't see him for the rest of the year.
No. He doesn't talk about basketball, hockey, soccer. He only does draft.
He doesn't even talk about NFL football.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just the draft. That's it. And then after the draft, he's kind of irrelevant until you start talking about next year's draft class.
Right.
So he does a great job, and obviously he makes the draft a lot of fun. And I don't think he does that at all.
All right, we'll take a timeout, Broncos country. How would you feel about a cornerback at 12? And if that's the case, when do they find their quarterback and whom would that target be? 303-713-1043 to answer that question. Let's touch a little bit on the Masters and hear from Tiger ahead of this Masters that he's going into his 24th version of that. And then we'll get you set for the big, big game. Number one seed on the line tonight. How did the Nuggets win? We'll tell you coming up.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
You're the last thing that I thought I'd lose. All I ever wanted was to be loved by you. I let you back in and I gave you a second chance. Like a jet plane.
Huge game tonight. The Denver Nuggets will take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. They'll do it down at Ball Arena, and both teams are coming off back-to-back games. In Utah last night were the Nuggets at home hosting the Wizards, were the Timberwolves, and both coming off victories. We're going to tell you who we like, what we like in this game coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before we do that, we're watching the par three for the Masters that will officially get underway tomorrow. Did we make it official with our Tiger makes the cut, doesn't make the cut pizza bet next week?
Yeah, I think we did, okay. Right? Chicken fingers, we got that one, and we had one other one.
A future on Zach Edey.
Yes, yes. Those are our two bets. Pick. Yeah, it's all official in the books. Why are you trying to back out?
No, I just want to make sure we're all new.
I'll give you a cash out.
No, I'm just checking.
No. Like, if you get nervous, just let me know. We could try to work out a deal.
I'm not like you and Zach Bye. I make a bet and I ride.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's not always the smartest thing to do, especially when you got a loser like I did. Yeah. So if you can get out of it, you get out of it. And Zach made the mistake and he's going to pay the price.
He is going to pay the price. Let's hear a little bit from Tiger Woods and just talking about, obviously, like, if you're even a casual golf fan, this weekend is, it may not be important, but you're at least aware of what's going on. And Tiger talked about what the Masters tournament has meant to him.
This tournament has meant so much to me in my life and my family. I think I've been playing here for 29 years now, and it has, it was the ultimate to be able to stay in the crow's nest and to watch Byron and Sam and Gene tee off on the first hole. And it's been a part of my life.
So, yeah, been a part 30 years, basically. He's talking about playing in it 24, 25 times coming up here. It's just, like, for me, Stoke, I'm a 39-year-old guy. Golf wasn't huge in my life until Tiger, honestly. And, like, and my dad starts playing, and you know, you kind of keep tabs on what's going on. But, like, you think about golf and then the Masters and then Tiger. Like, that's it. It's, you know, the PGA Tour is it's about the Masters. And then that is about Tiger playing in it and rocking the red on Sunday and dominating the way that he has done in the past.
You know, I choke. go figure. Obviously Tiger has drawn a lot of people into the game that otherwise wouldn't watch. And, you know, because it was just greatness like you'd never seen before. And it was style. So he was doing things on the golf course that no one ever could come close to doing, and so people loved to watch that. And then the Masters is the Masters, right? It's the only major that it's at the Masters every year.
Mm-hmm.
So we know the history of it. You've seen the great shots, and certainly when Tiger's a part of it, like it's fun to watch. Any tournament's fun to watch with him, just because. Like, it's like watching Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. It's just greatness.
Tiger also talked about him having to push through and play. And he talked about with a couple of articles leading up to this of how he's still in pain every single day. And then just more pain when he tries to play golf and how it lingers over into the next day. But he was asked about why he keeps pushing to play in big tournaments.
I love golf. I do. I've always loved it. I played other sports growing up, but I just have always loved this sport, and I love to compete and be able to have the love I have for the game and the love for competition be intertwined. I think that's one of the reasons why I've had a successful career. I just love doing the work. I love logging the time in, and I love preparing. I love competing, and I love that feeling when everything's on fire with a chance to win, and you either do or you don't.
You know, it would be easy to be like, oh, that's the easy answer, right? Like, dude, you love golf. You're a competitor. It's so genuine. Like, that hearing him say that is, you know, that's obviously much lower level, but like, I love radio. This is what we do. I'm so in love with sports talk radio. It's nerdy, but whatever. It's what I'm obsessed with. I love hearing that out of a guy like Tiger that's 30 years into this, fighting his own body to be able to continue, but it's just love of the game and that competitive spirit that comes with Sunday. I freaking love that answer, dude.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, that's why he is who he is. And golf is hard because you got to grind. You got to grind when no one's watching, and you got to put that time in, that work in, And then to do it for as long as he did it, to be at the top, right? I mean, that's a whole nother level. A lot of guys get at the top, and guess what? You finally made it. I'm number one in the world. I won, you know, four majors. I've done them all. I've done it all. Like, and then to continue to put the work in to stay at the top is the hardest thing to do. But obviously, he's always been able to do it. You got to have that. You got to love to compete, right? You gotta fear losing. You got to fear failure. And that's what's got to drive you. And then you put the work in, and what's obviously he has done, and then you just go out there and you dominate.
Yeah, I'm fired up for this. I'm fired up for to actually get going tomorrow, and then obviously, well, I guess now I got to be rooting against Tiger to make the cut, so I don't got to buy pizza next week.
Right, you're in a bad spot.
I kind of am in a bad spot.
Yeah, really bad spot. You want that cash out?
What's the number?
Whoa, he's wobbling already. That didn't take long. You're getting more and more like Zach. Bye.
I don't want no freaking cash out.
All right.
I'm standing my ground.
There you go.
Here. I'll be watching.
It could be a win-win for you. You know, if it doesn't happen, you win pizza. If it does happen, then you're kind of like it's.
It makes my Sunday better.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll take one for the team if I have to. And look, if we're being real honest, I haven't had to buy a lot of pizza around here, so.
Oh, that's right. Might be my time.
Yeah?
Right. It is kind of your time.
Right.
So that would be nice if Tiger makes a cut.
All right, big one tonight.
I would be the reason that Tiger's cut streak gets snapped.
Because you made the
Because he's never missed it as a professional.
Right.
Right? And so, yeah, that would be fitting for me. Right?
You would be to blame?
Yeah.
For the streak coming to an end because Brandon Stokely made a pizza bet
right.
on the radio show.
I broke his streak.
Mm-hmm. I feel great. Would you like a cash out offer?
I'm good. I'll take my chances that Tiger can overcome my bad juju.
All right. You guys in for it? You're watching it? How do you feel out there? You golf fans? You casual golf fans? Does the Masters do it for you? Let us know at 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. All right, Stoke, let's look at it. This big game tonight between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves, they're going to do their dance at 8 o'clock tonight. Still unsure as to what Aaron Gordon's status is. We'll get there. I did just find out that Tony Brothers is a referee tonight. He's the lead official. And
That'll make it even more fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the good kind.
Right.
Him and Joker got their beefs from the past. But
yeah, that's all right. Hopefully it doesn't impact the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, seriously, here, and you're right, hopefully Aaron Gordon can go. Because if not, I'll be concerned, right? He hadn't played since the 4th. So I'm expecting him to play. I don't know why, but I just am. And look, this is a big game, right? And we've seen in big games, Jokic get frustrated with the non-calls.
Yeah.
All right? You just can't allow that to happen anymore, right? You can't. He was on the verge last night a little bit. You know, he was teetering there.
Mm-hmm.
They were frustrating. They were hacking him. They were getting some steals. And you just got to know who's reffing. He'll be looking for you.
Yeah.
Right? He's not afraid to tee you up, right?
Yeah.
And to kick you out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He likes it being about him. So just don't give him any reason to tee you up.
Yeah, but and Joker's smart enough to know that. He just gets so emotional in the heat of the competition.
Well, he's a competitor.
Yeah.
You love that.
Yeah.
You just, you know, so you just got to dial it in a little bit, especially when you have certain refs.
Mm-hmm. Would you, if you came to one of my rec league games, and I'm, well, first of all, there'd be a moment of my life, and I'm getting after the referees, right? Like that. Am I a competitor or a fool?
You're a fool.
Wait a minute. You just said he's a competitor.
Right. This is a different level.
Oh.
Right? This is a different level, right? You're competing with other 40 something year olds that have never done anything in their life. Did I say that out loud?
Look, we've done other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just not on the basketball
floor. We're not complete losers. We're just losers in the on the basketball court.
Brady's got a nice house and a job and stuff like that.
Sorry, Brady. Sorry. I apologize for that. No, it was like the guy I was playing the member guest with this past week. The guy swore he was playing at Augusta.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like, dude, we're here to have fun. We're going to compete, but we're here to have fun. And don't be that guy. Yeah, don't be yelling at the refs in the...
Okay. I've actually gotten a lot better at that. I'm not that guy anymore.
You used to be.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Bad?
Pretty bad.
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, hey! Longmont, Denver.
Kev,
All-Star.
There we go.
That was so close.
You took a gamble.
It was, when I looked up, it was 59 in here. Oh, my gosh. I was so close to just bringing another brilliant, brilliant move by me. Yep, I'll take the L.
Good call, ref.
Yep, ref got it right. Ref got it right.
I don't want Josh to yell at me there.
Right, exactly. I mean, this guy is on edge. You can't do that in a rec league game.
I don't anymore. But I have.
Yeah, yeah, don't do it anymore.
Okay. Pickup?
Pickup? Now, I'll tell you this. What you can do is if you're at like a 7- and 8-year-old baseball game, just give the ump the business.
Of course.
God, I mean, what are we doing right here, Blue? I mean, come on. That was definitely not a strike, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to. So you could do that, but 40 and over, rec league, no.
Fight for your kids, not for your 40-year-old self.
Yes. You got to win that medal, man. Yeah. You got to get that first place medal kid. They'll always remember that moment.
I mean,
big time.
What are they going to do without that trophy that you're going to throw away in 2 years?
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
That's important.
How are they going to get on with life?
Right. All right. One more thing on the Nuggets here. Tell me if this concerns you at all. Let me read to you from a Minnesota reporter as to what Anthony Edwards said about tonight. Quote, "I think everyone knows what's at stake. I don't even think it's a really big game. Yeah, we're going to go out there and play to win the game, of course, but I think people are just making their stories that it's a big game. Hopefully it's going to be interesting," end quote. Nikola, Anthony, they're looking at it from different perspectives. I don't think it should surprise a lot of people that that's Nikola's answer, but does that make you worried at all that the Timberwolves are putting so much emphasis on this when clearly Nikola is not?
No, not at all. I mean, Jokic is playing tonight, right?
He is.
Okay, I'm cool. Like, he has a different vibe about him. He gets on the court, it's game time, right? So he knows. He knows. He might be downplaying a little bit. And one guy's a champion. One guy's played in the biggest of a big, right? He's played in it all and won it all last year. That's Jokic. All right. This ultimately, yeah, is it a big regular season game? But it doesn't compare to anything that we had last year in the playoffs or the finals. So, you know, maybe from his perspective, it's like, yeah. I mean, yeah, just another regular season game. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean when he gets out on the court, he's screwing around. It's about business. You know that for Jokic. And so I don't mind his answer. I don't mind Anthony Edwards' answer because they've never won anything. So they might view this thing a lot different. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I know who Nikola is. And I know you're right, man. This is a regular season game. He doesn't have that extra oomph or the juice that comes with it because of what last year was. And I'm not going to be down on him by the way he worded it. I guess if I wanted to get greedy, I would have liked to hear him say, yeah, we care about the number one seed, and this is a big game for the number one seed. We're going to put forth the same effort we always put forth, and hopefully we get a dub.
Right. I watched him play last night against the Utah Jazz, and he was all in.
He was
competing his ass off, right? So I his words right there, it doesn't bother me at all. I mean, I'm with you. I'd like him to say, yeah, we know how important this game is, but, you know, when you compare it to – you know, playoff basketball, championship basketball, that's not what this game is. They're still going to play their next game, and their next game, they're still in the playoffs no matter what. So he might look at it a little bit differently, and I'm okay with that because he's going to come out and ball tonight.
Yes, he is. 8 o'clock tip-off, first place in the Western Conference, pretty much on the line here tonight for the Denver Nuggets. We'll be back tomorrow to break it all down and get you set for Thursday's big DU game. Right now, Zach Bye, Philip Lindsay sliding in. What's up, boys? What's up, fellas? How you doing?
What is up?
How you guys doing?
Great. Oh,
good. Masters is getting on the way. Huge game tonight.
Yeah. We got two dubs last night.
Nate the Great secured the Hart Trophy.
You guys won tonight.
Your belly's full of pizza, huh?
Yeah, we have pizza today.
Yeah, that was me.
Shout out Stoke.
Yeah.
Did you guys get a slice?
No, we just looking.
Phil, you've been putting on a little bit.
That's just the rumors around the office.
I don't know.
It had to come from Zach, huh?
I don't like to throw people under the bus, so I'm not naming names here.
Tiger. Expectations for Tiger. Realistic expectations.
Yeah, expectations make the cut. And after that, you know, if nothing.
Are there odds on that?
Yes, there are.
What does it look like?
Well, you know, just
not good.
Running cold like you're running cold. You know, two nights ago is plus 110. I looked last night, it's minus 115. Mm. So it's moving in the direction. A lot of people are throwing money on him to make the cut.
Yeah.
He's never missed a cut as a professional, 25, 26 years. And he's probably as healthy as he's been in the last year or two.
I've heard that before.
I'm not.
Golly, man.
He goes out there and starts limping.
Dude.
Right, yeah. And I don't think the weather's supposed to be cold. I think it's supposed to be decent weather, which obviously is big when, you know, you're pretty much walking on one leg and you got a bad back. So I'm expecting him to make the cut. That's my expectations for him. I just hope he does. And then after that, like I said, whatever. I just want to watch him on the weekend.
Yeah. Actually, one of the things that stuck out that when we talked about it, the Caitlin Clark number, that I couldn't believe it beat Tiger's final round at the Masters, because it felt like in 2019.
Oh, the rating? You're talking about the rating?
Yeah. Like, if you had access to a TV, everyone was scrambling to get in front of a TV. Mm-hmm. And that, like, went to show, because that was like one of the best sports moments
of
the last 10 years.
Absolutely.
The
Nike ball.
What's that?
The Nike ball?
That wasn't that
No,
one.
I'm talking about when Tiger won the Masters in front of his kids, and this was after he came back.
That was before the Nike ball.
That was way
there.
Before, yeah.
That was before. Didn't you bet Tiger to not make the cut a couple years ago?
Not on that event, but I did. Yes, I
forget
what
event.
No, not on
that one. One of them. Oh, I thought it was the Masters that you bet for no cut, and you took the L.
I did. Yes. I did bet.
And it made my day. Made my year.
What are you going to bet now, Zach? Are you going to bet the cut, or are you going
to? I'm going to bet Tiger to miss the cut.
To miss it.
I'm going to bet Tiger to miss
the middleman out. We can just take the middleman out. Yeah. You buckled up.
What do you guys have on it?
Next week's pizza.
Okay.
Yeah, we got next week's pizza, and I'll be throwing a little bit more on it, just because it's Tiger. Yeah. This is what he does, man.
Yeah,
it's Tiger Woods.
I'm not betting against greatness.
Yeah,
you can't. Even if he doesn't do well, you still got to put it in there.
Right. Yeah. He knows that course so well.
He does.
It's tough though. Like you have two bad holes, and you know it's a wrap. So that's a hard thing for him right now. Just the consistency.
Who's the
Scotty
favorite
Scheffler?
To win it? Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah. He's got almost like. Which we didn't have, you didn't have the lines on your phone back when Tiger was in his heyday, right? But it's almost like he's got Tiger Woods odds. Like that's how much he's a favorite compared to the other guys. He's like plus 450. The next guy's plus like 1,000, plus 1,100.
Wow.
And we're talking about Rahm, Rory,
dudes.
It's a stacked field, and he's by far the favorite.
So do you pick straight up winner or finishes in top five?
Well, it just depends on how I'm feeling.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. So
you watching it, is it going to make you want to go golf a little bit more?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go out there and start trying Tiger Woods golf.
Right. And they make it look so easy. You're like, now I know. They're giving me the codes. Right. I can go out. And
I can't wait.
You're looking at their fingertips and stuff. Okay.
And then you go out there and you leave depressed. That's what I did. What happened?
I went to the Cherry Hills a course for the amateur.
Yeah,
and me and a buddy had 18 scheduled, so we're gonna go watch for 3 or 4 hours, and then we're gonna go play. And I'm just like, I got it.
They're
giving me the answers to the test, no problem.
Bust out your little notepad.
You know what? Yes.
An hour later, you're still looking for the same ball. You're like,
And one of those guys went and won that the tour event as an amateur.
Yeah, the guy that you were following.
Yes, and then declared pro like the next week or whatever.
Played
it was.
At Alabama.
Yeah, played at Alabama. Yep, remember his bag, because they all got their bags that are LSU bag, Gator bag, Bama bag. Hey, real quick, predictions for tonight. Nikola Jokic. Josh, you're going to be in the building?
Yeah. Wait.
Phil?
You guys
are going to be in the building?
I'm going to be in the building.
Zach?
I'm in the biggity building.
Stoke? Nope.
No. Stoke? I'm going to have a cigar in my mouth.
I'll be locked in.
Yeah.
I like you. I heard it just briefly on the way in. I am not paying attention to Nikola Jokic's words. I am watching his actions, and I think we get a double XL Jokic game tonight.
Mm. Yeah, because he tried to downplay it with how big the game is or is not. And I'm with you. I think they know exactly what it is. We've talked about that before with their surge out of the All-Star break and wanting to chase that number one overall seed. Yeah, you're right. They can say everything they want to say, and Malone can go up there and try to spin his words, but They're all in tonight. I think Aaron's back.
Yeah.
Jamal's going to play 30-plus. I think Jamal starts to stagger again with that second unit tonight. Not in the same role, but you'll start to see some more of that this evening, and they're all in. Yeah, I like Nikola's triple-double. We haven't looked at the number yet, but I'm all in on the Nuggets.
Okay, I love it.
Yeah, I like the Nuggets tonight. We got to remember, back-to-back for both teams.
Right.
Minnesota's the one traveling here, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's a big deal.
And they played bigger minutes last night.
Right. And so I'm hoping that Aaron Gordon returns. If he doesn't, I become very concerned. And I just, at home, you know, it's the champions. It's Denver Nuggets. So I'm not picking against them tonight at home with everything, you know, moving forward, everything on the line. Like, how could you?
Yeah, this is the time. This is the time to go all in.
Aaron Gordon's availability is huge.
Yeah.
And I think Michael Porter Jr.'s got to turn in a really good game.
I like it.
I think Michael Porter Jr.'s got to play
well.
It's
been a minute.
It's in, and he did not play. He looked again sort of just like...
Back to the old Michael Porter Jr.
He's like floating. You know, he's just like floating, not attacking the basket. Like, and he was doing it for a while there. He's got to play well. If you tell me Michael Porter Jr. finishes with 9 points tonight, I don't think the Nuggets are going to win this game. He's got to play well. And Aaron Gordon struggles traditionally against Minnesota with their size and physicality. That's normally his calling card. So it's like, you know, if they ever played Minnesota in a series, you'd see Aaron Gordon's like point prop be like 12 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can get in the double figures and Michael Porter Jr. plays well, I think the Nuggets are going
to
win this game.
Interested to see how they use the Naz Reid thing with Kat not coming back just yet, because I would love for Michael Malone to have the ability to throw Aaron and KCP at Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
And a little early with Aaron Gordon so you can get physical. Maybe you wear him down a bit coming off that back-to-back like Stokes mentioned. But I don't know how Minnesota is going to counter that with who they play at the four and what the matchup is on the other end for Aaron Gordon.
I think the other question is, you know, how concerned are we with Jamal back-to-back for him, right? I mean, he played 27 minutes last night. So it wasn't like, all right, we're going to ease you in here. I mean, they put him in there 27 minutes. You could tell.
He was
tired. I mean, do you think not concerned? Okay.
The man went out there and had 5 dunks.
Yeah, in the first quarter, or in the first half.
He did that for
a
reason.
That was a career high.
He did that because he was listening to us, and everybody saying, oh, we're concerned.
Yeah.
So he went out there and put a show on.
And defensively, he was a demon.
He was great. But the thing is, you wake up the next day, you haven't played a lot. You know, is he sore? Like, so that's my only concern. I think he's good to go. He looked great last night. And, the Aaron Gordon one. But Christian Brown played well. Christian Brown shot well. And if he can shoot the three like that in the playoffs, that would be a big boost.
Stoke, we rolling triple-double at 175?
Yes, got to do it. I lost it last night. I'm doubling that down. And,
All right. And it looks like, and I always just shoehorn this in, it looks like that professional money is pouring in on the Denver Nuggets. That's what it looks like.
It's due time.
That people do that who do this professionally are betting the Nuggets. That doesn't mean it's a lock or anything. It's just another piece of information worth passing along.
Well, it was good info on the national championship game.
Oh, the under.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I'm giving you credit.
I heard you say the phrase the other day, and I was proud of you.
Oh.
Because I taught it to him.
Oh.
It was a rocking chair finish.
I did. Did you make that up? I thought I did. I didn't make it up. You stole it, too.
I popularized it. All right. And rolling here on a big day in Denver sports, and one of the most unique combinations that can happen in sports is going to take place here in Colorado, and we'll tell you what it is coming up next.